Over 98% of tarmac strandings happen on just four airlines. Would you avoid them if you knew which ones? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest for the first time in several months is Kate Hanai, founder and executive director of FlyersRights.org. This organization is pushing for legislation which would create a passenger's bill of rights for those of us who fly on airliners to prevent some of the more egregious strandings that we hear about and somehow keep seeming to get swept under the rug. Kate, thanks for taking some time for our listeners today.
Well, Paul, thank you for having me on again. It's a real pleasure.
Well, the last time we talked was just days after the election of President Obama. It seems as though a lot of public attention was diverted to basking in those first 100 days. Now those are past. We need to get an update on where things stand in Washington, D.C. on a federal passenger's bill of rights.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, we and most of the public doesn't know how far we've come. Senator Barbara Boxer and Senator Olympia Snowe took the lead in January and submitted a new bill for airline passengers. That they came to us and they said, what's the best of everything that happened over the last 2 years and give it to us and let's see what we can come up with. And so we gave them the best of what was in the House bill and the best of what was in the Senate bills, all of them. And they've drafted the strongest piece of legislation that we've gotten on a national level. And then they went to my Congressman Mike Thompson on the House side, and he did an identical piece of legislation, which makes our job a whole lot easier. And then we got Congressman Jerry Costello and James Oberstar of the House Aviation, Transportation, and Aviation subcommittees, and they have included a very strong piece of airline passengers' rights on the House side, not as strong as we believe we'll have in the FAA modernization bill on the Senate side. It would have a mandatory 3-hour minimum standard, which for most people seems like a long time to sit on the tarmac, but at least it would be something passengers could hang their hat on in terms of getting off a plane if they've been stuck, optionally get off. And then the second piece of information in there, of course, is essential needs, potable water, food, hygienic toilets, emptying of the trash receptacles, breathable air, and temperature control. Those things will be managed at any time you're in the plane in our legislation, not just at 3 hours. So I think we're looking at a huge step forward. We've got another amendment coming to the bill for chronically delayed and chronically canceled flights from Senator Thune. That's going to be even stronger than it was in the last Congress. He agreed to adopt all of our criteria for what is a chronically delayed and chronically canceled flight. So that will be in the FAA reauthorization bill. And I could not be more excited, except for the fact that I'm exhausted in the 2.5 years fighting for this.
Well, now, let me back up just a little bit. You talk about one bill that has it as a standalone, and then you also talk about it being included in FAA reauthorization. Now, back in the last cycle, there were folks who said they thought it would pass on its own, but they actually wanted you to hold off and let them include it as a component of FAA reauthorization instead because it would help that bill pass. Is that strategy now kind of out the window? Are you just kind of pushing for a passenger's bill of rights on its own?
Well, no, we expect to have the passenger bill of rights pass in the FAA modernization bill, and they still do see it as the sexy part of the bill that the public will get behind in order to get the bill passed. So, but there hasn't been as much coverage of the stranding events lately, so it hasn't been talked about as much, but that is the vehicle that we think has the best chance of getting passed because supposedly it's a must-pass bill by September 30th, which it was 2 years ago. So, you know, that's what I've been told. Now, the good news is that we also got a commitment from Senator Boxer and Senator Snowe, and they got the blessing of Senator Rockefeller that if for some reason the FAA bill gets stalled, they are going to move forward this year with it as a standalone bill. So I think we've got the best of both worlds this time in that We've got commitments that they're tired of not getting this done. They know it needs to be done. It's harder to get a standalone bill passed than it is getting something included in a larger must-pass bill like FAA, but it's very possible. There's a lot of public outcry. Our membership keeps growing, and the public is still very dissatisfied with the way things are going regarding commercial air travel.
All right, my guest is Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of FlyersRights.org, previously known as the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. Kate, when we come back from the break, there's a really interesting statistic out from the U.S. Department of Transportation that I want to talk to you about, and that has to do with dramatic differences among airlines in how often strandings take place officially. And we'll get to those stats in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. We're talking today with Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org about airline passenger strandings. That's where, for whatever reason, a plane is diverted, winds up sitting on the tarmac for up to hours at a time, and the people are not let off, and the toilets overflow, and we've heard all the stories. Kate, there was a very interesting bit of data from the Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics that seems to suggest that there are four airlines among all the airlines out there that are the worst offenders on these strandings. This seems only marginally plausible, but tell us what this data says.
Well, you know, I agree with you that it seems marginally plausible. Basically, the fuzzy math that goes on with this data that you know, we think is suspicious. However, this is what the government is reporting. The BTS is reporting to the public that American Airlines, Delta Airlines, American Eagle, and United quite frequently do not allow their passengers off the planes when they're at a diversion airport, no matter how long they're on the tarmac. In American's case, which is the worst offender, they're 60% of the time they claim not to allow passengers off the planes. Delta is just about 50-50. American Eagle says that they allow them off more frequently than they don't, but they still have a large number, as does United, where they divert aircraft and they claim that they do not allow passengers off the planes. Now, what's odd about this and is that all of the remaining member airlines, Pinnacle, Alaska, Continental, Atlantic Southeast, Frontier, AirTran, Hawaiian, Comair, SkyWest, U.S. Airways, Southwest, and ExpressJet and Mesa all claim that 100% of the time they allow passengers off the jets at diversion airports. So we're wondering what's going on. Either is this just simply an airline practice, where they've actually made a policy, all those airlines, that they will allow passengers off at the diversion airports, and then those other four airlines are just disregarding the passengers altogether and not allowing them off.
Well, and this is really significant and lopsided, because the numbers here say that those four airlines, out of 744 instances where major airlines failed to give passengers the chance to deplane at a diverted airport, out of those 744 instances, 735 of them were confined to these four airlines.
That's correct.
That's bizarre.
That is bizarre. And we've challenged the BTS and asked for freedom of information data on their communications with the airlines. We have brought them individual incidents of flights where the passengers were, you know, claimed something different, that they were not allowed off, and the airline claimed that they did. And we've gotten those individual incidents changed, which is probably why you see Northwest with 8 and 215.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but it's still so lopsided that we just would like the airlines to speak up. We'd like them to weigh in. You know, if this is true and American has a policy of not allowing their passengers off 60% of the time, even if you're going to sit, you know, 10 or 12 hours at a diversion airport, as happened to us, then the public ought to know which airlines to fly and which ones not to fly if they're worried about this happening.
You know, this is an interesting topic right now in other areas too. The flight of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 that went down in the Hudson River started a huge brouhaha about bird strikes, and the FAA has been collecting bird strike data, but the reporting is voluntary, and it's a very kind of analogous thing to this situation. The FAA did not want that information released to the public because they feared that it would make those who were the most honest reporters of bird strikes, this being airports, look like the least conscientious in preventing bird strikes. And so they lost that argument or succumbed to public opinion and have released the data. But is it possible that that's what's going on here? Or is it even maybe the most likely scenario?
I think what's going on here is that the airlines did not want us as a passenger rights group to know what the real statistics were. And so they've reported that they're allowing passengers off all the time when they're not. That's what we believe the most likely scenario is. We've taken data subsets and shown that 108 of the reported flights where they said they allowed passengers off at the diversion airports were only on the cement for less than 30 minutes, one of them less than 15 minutes. So it's a virtual impossibility that they allowed those passengers off, but the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, the government, is telling us that if the airlines are telling them that they did, then they did. And that we have to live with it unless we can prove otherwise. So therefore, we're left with, this is the data that the government has given us. They're adamant that it's correct. The airlines are adamant that it's correct. And so if it is correct, I would say that folks ought to avoid American, Delta, United Airlines, American Eagle, and even Northwest, because they're clearly not allowing their passengers off the jets. And if the airlines want to take this up with each other, they ought to do that.
Well, listen, now let's get back to assuming someone is flying this summer and does find themselves in one of these strandings.
Yes.
The hotline number is 1-877-FLYERS-6, FLYERS-6. What about Twitter, text messaging, all the other new ways we have to report things to each other?
Yes, absolutely. I'm on Twitter as Kate Hanni. I update it every couple days, but they can tweet me at Kate Hanni and I'll see it in my inbox on my email. They can even call my cell phone, which is 707-337-0328 if they are currently on a jet. And we can document that information right then and help them if they're on the jet, in addition to making sure we know exactly what's going on with these diverted aircraft and what the messaging is from the pilots to the passengers. What are they being told? Are they being told that they can get off, can't get off, that it would be dangerous to get off, they won't get their bags? You know, what's the messaging? They can contact us that way. They can contact us through by email, kate@flyersrights.org, if they want to email me directly and they have Wi-Fi on the plane or they have their own wireless account. There are a number of ways they can get me and get us on the line, and we will respond very quickly, within a couple of minutes.
All right, but we should also throw in the precaution that you give at the beginning of your message on your voicemail, and that is, if the lady in the seat next to you has just gone into diabetic shock, just go ahead and call 911.
Absolutely. If it's an emergency, life or death, or someone's critically injured, they've got to call 911 from where they are. We're not that type of emergency service. But if someone's not in immediate danger, but they're stuck on a plane, and they want some help, you know, we go to any lengths. We call the managers of the airports, and we will get them, out there and get buses out to the plane, and force the airlines to allow people off in the event. And it's not even an unlikely event anymore. It's a regularly occurring event. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we can say about this new rule that we got passed where the data is being reported is that we are getting more information now on more stranding events. We don't believe that it's all of the information, but we can now account for about 100 more flights a month that are stuck on the tarmac for 3 hours or more, 100 more than we were getting before. So we have been successful from that standpoint. We know that the ones that are being reported truthfully are likely true. We just believe that there's a lot of underreporting going on with that data. So, you know, again, I really think that the airlines ought to talk to each other on this, because I'm sure that American Airlines is surprised that Pinnacle allows their diverted passengers off 100% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very sure that they're wondering how SkyWest, with 463 diverted flights in that six-month period, never once kept people on the tarmac, and every single time there was a gate available for them at a diversion airport.
Well, Kate, we will try to keep in more frequent contact with you as the summer vacation season rolls around, because with all the reductions in airline capacity, maybe there will be a little bit easier time getting in and out of airports for an individual flight, but at the same time, the planes will be very full. And we appreciate your telling us what's going on.
Well, thank you so much, and we're here, and I'm testifying next week on Wednesday the 20th at 2 p.m. before the House Aviation Subcommittee on Consumer Issues, and would love to hear from people if they have issues they'd like brought before the Congress. This is the time to do it.
Well, all the contact for FlyersRights.org is repeated in the data block that accompanies this Aerocast. My guest has been Kate Hanai. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.